I'm often asked about my management style, and my management style is usually crisis control, and the crisis is usually not enough money to pay all the interest and the notes due right at that time. So I kind of have to go through here and give you a little of my history so that you'll see where I came up with my ideas on how we do things now. And rather than telling you exactly and everything that we do in our marketing program, I'll just tell you the associations that I have had with people and how I got to this point. And hopefully I can answer questions and help you more than I can just out and out telling you we do this and going from there. I have to go back quite a ways. I was born in the next county west of here, Montgomery County. My dad had commercial cattle and sheep, and he had those cattle and sheep to justify his equipment because he loved equipment. Dad had polio when I was 2 years old, sold a farm, moved here to Roanoke, and went back to accounting school. In 1955, I met Chuck Grove. His uncle, Carol, helped me pick out my first bred heifer. In 1956. In 1957, I met John Crouch here at the county fair, as he told you. He said he was 17, but I think he was 20 and still in the 10th grade. But they sure did a good job with him when he got to the University of Tennessee. That same year, the heifer calf that was born in 1956 out of that bred heifer was a champion heifer at the junior show at the state fair. Les Leachman was the judge. And that fall, I met T. Steele, who was an Angus breeder here in the county. As we progress along in 1965, Dr. Green at Virginia Tech told me, he said, livestock bought right or half sold. You know, that's one thing I remember from going to college. In 1968, fall of 68, I was on the Virginia Tech judging team. And being from Virginia in the East, the whole team had a negative attitude because the Midwestern schools always won the judging contest. Dr. Manish told us, he said, you all can learn to judge cattle and livestock just as well as anybody else. And he told us this story. And he said it was this guy wanted to take his mule to the Kentucky Derby. Everybody just harassed the old boy so bad. He said, no way that horse can, that mule can win. He said, yeah, I know that, but the association will do him good. So that's kind of the way with me. The association with the people I've been involved with has really had an impact on me. That fall of 68, we had a real successful judging team. We went to Carbondale, Illinois, won the spring contest, and Dr. Manish had told us, he said, we was talking about judging pork hogs, and he said, if you see a moderately muscled market hog, you estimate he's going out 4 to 5 inches. If you think he's real big, give him a 6, 6 and a half. We saw market hogs at Southern Illinois that had loin eyes of over 8 inches in 1968. That fall at the Virginia State Fair, we had the champion shorthorn steer from VPI. And when he was butchered, he had a loin eye of 7 and a half inches. And that's always stuck in my mind, that we needed to address, the product that we're producing. In 69, I'm kind of like somebody said about Chuck Grove at Virginia Tech. They just, asked me to go on. I really didn't graduate, but it was an honor to graduate from Virginia Tech. Got married that same spring, and Ronnie Green was at our wedding. And I had been interviewing, and it came down to two job opportunities that I liked. One was at Millarden Farms in Georgia, where I would have had a role with many different facets of the industry, feeder cattle, registered cattle, bred heifer program, or I was going to Summit Crest in Ohio, feeding the show cattle, and was really impressed with Mr. Johnson and Henry Bergfell. And that's when I left the idea with him for CAB and the checkoff. He don't give me any credit, but that's... So I've kind of followed along knowing Mr. Johnson and, you know, really having a lot of respect for his thoughts. In 1971, I have to back up. My wife told me when we went to Georgia that I had to start working on something for us. Couldn't just work for somebody else. This is the year that AI was opened up in 71, and I thought I was a pretty good inseminator. Paul Hill came to Briar Hill in Alabama, another association that had an impact on me. That year I bought 113 commercial cows. Found out after I had them purchased and didn't have a farm to put them on that some of those cows were registered, 33 I think. When it all boiled down, 7 of them were worthy of being called a brood cow. The other registered cows were not even fit to be commercial cows. But of those 7 cows, that when I got the 113 home, I had $225 in those cows after selling their calves and paying the trucking. As I told you, AI opened up that year and we started breeding AI. About 9 years later, we started the dynamic dam sale. And a daughter of this cow, of one of these $225 cows, sold for $17,000. During this time, in 1970, the first Angus bull to have an adjusted weight of over 1,000 pounds was Menteitha Graham 37 that Select Sires bought. And I got involved with Roy Wallace and Select Sires and the American Pole Hereford Association breeding the neighbor's commercial cows to do sire evaluation. We rocked along there and was able to make the payments by feeding other breeds of cattle, and the cattle that were popular at that time were Bauman-derived breeds, Beefmasters, Santa Gertrudis, Varangus. And when John Crouch was our regional manager, we believed in Angus cattle, and he was helping me find really good Angus cows, and we were putting those cows together, and all you heard was beef was going to be a generic product from now on. You didn't have to worry about quality. And neither one of us agreed with that. As time went on, we took our first bulls to the Florida Angus Association bull sale. We had a bull that, to my knowledge, is the only bull that ever was scored an A-plus by all three graders, and he brought $3,000, and this is in the late 70s. Well, this, and when Les Leachman made that heifer champion at the Virginia State Fair, they just set me on fire for the Angus business. In 1981, I was elected to the board of directors of the American Angus Association, right when CAB was at a critical point with whether we keep funding it or not. Remember those days, John? In 1983, I had been having Angus bulls or Angus herd sire sales at our farm, and it was awfully difficult. I had a fellow in the summer of 1983 come through from Florida and offer me $1,500 around for 20 bulls if I would let him pick them. And I'd advertise no bull would be sold or had been sold until sale time, and I lived up to it. And we caught off a lot of those bulls for $700 and $800 because the market had gone down so in November of that year. And that's when I made up my mind that if anyone come looking for Angus genetics at our place, I was going to try to make a sale at that time. In 1984, seeing that being on the CAB board and the Angus board, I thought quality was very important. And it was before I knew that Hereford cattle didn't marble very well. I bought some horned Hereford cows, thinking that I would supply my customers with Hereford bulls and Angus cows, and which ended up working well. We had 18% interest in the year of 85, and farm credit was in trouble, and you couldn't get an answer, so I decided to disperse my herd in 1986. And that was also to take advantage of the change in taxes by President Reagan. That was the worst day of my life. I'd spent all this time putting all of these good cows together, breeding them, and it turned out it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Joe and Robin Hampton bought cattle out of that dispersal. We sold about 500 head, and to this day, I have not had a complaint about one of them. So it turned out marketing-wise to be one of the best things that ever happened to me. I had two people that cooperated with me and bought some of those cows, and we still have genetics that go back to the start of the herd in 71. In 87, I bought a herd of Charolais cows, and we had Charolais bulls, Angus bulls, and Hereford bulls when we were coming out of the period when everything was Brahman-derived and it worked well. But as we built these cattle back, still Angus cattle were the very best. And in the early 90s, we got rid of the Hereford cows. About 93 or 4, the Charolais cows left, and we've been a total purebred Angus operation since then. I've been involved with Angus cattle when we started the on-farm ratioing for performance, estimated breeding values. I think we had EPDs in our first, we were the first to have EPDs on our bulls in a sale catalog. And now with the values, we've had so many tools to work with that it's just unreal. And I say to you, let's not take these good times lightly. Let's continue to earn respect for the commercial producers. In our marketing, the things that I think are important, first of all, is integrity. I've always tried to be involved in the industry. We are accessible. I have a lady in the office, and if one of our commercial producers has a problem, they call, and I'm in touch with them within 12 hours. We try to be a source of information to our customers. I try to know order buyers, ways for them to have better avenues of selling their product. And last of all, I don't sell any animal that I think may have problems. We probably sell a bigger percentage of our cows at Shapiro Packing Company than any other Angus breeder in the state. I am truly convinced that if we take the attitude that she's not good enough to be at our place, but she'd make a good commercial cow, is just not right. So we try to take all the problems out of them before we sell them. Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey. Joe, we'll ask you to come up next and speak to us about Bat Creek and Angus Advantage.
Thanks, sir.